painted image of a fan-tailed capital ship with a spherical control module located amidships. The down-sloping curved bow and smooth hull gave it the look of a deep-sea behemoth. Tarkin circled the table, appraising the hologram. "What is this thing?"
"Begged and borrowed, sir," someone reported. "Separatist-era engineering more than anything else. The central sphere resembles one of the old Trade Federation droid control computers, and the entire forward portion might have come from a Commerce Guild destroyer. Front-facing sensor array tower. IFF's highlighting modules consistent with CIS Providence, Recusant, and Munificent-class warships."
"Pirates?"
Cassell ventured.
"Privateers?"
"Have they issued any demands?" Tarkin asked.
"Nothing yet."
Cassell waited a beat.
"Insurgents?"
"No data on the starfighter fuselage markings, sir," someone said.
Tarkin touched his jaw but said nothing. As he continued to circle the hologram, a flare of wavy corruption in the lower left portion captured his attention.
"What was that?"
he said, standing tall.
"At the lower... there it is again."
He counted quietly to himself. At the count of 10, he fixed his gaze on the same area of the hologram.
"And again!"
He swung to the specialist.
"Replay the recording at half speed."
Tarkin kept his eyes on the lower left quadrant as the holovid restarted and began a new count.
"Now,"
he said, in advance of every instance of corruption.
"Now!"
Chairs throughout the room swiveled.
"Encryption noise," someone suggested.
"Ionization effect,"
another said. Tarkin held up a hand to silence the speculations.
"This isn't a guessing game, ladies and gentlemen."
"Interval corruption of some sort,"
Cassell said.
"Of some sort indeed."
Tarkin watched silently as the pre-recorded holovid recycled for a third time. Then he moved to the communications station.
"Instruct Lieutenant Thorne to show himself,"
he said to the seated spec.
"Sir?"
"Tell him to train a cam on himself." The spec relayed the command, and Thorne's voice issued from the speakers.
"Sentinel, I've never been asked to do that, but if that's what it's going to take to effect a rescue, then I'm happy to comply."
Everyone in the room turned to the holofeed, and moments later, a 3D image of Thorne took shape above the table.
"Recognition is well within acceptable margin, sir,"
a spec said. Tarkin nodded and leaned toward one of the microphones.
"Stand by, Rampart. Reinforcements are forthcoming."
He continued to study the live holovid and had begun yet another count when the transmission abruptly de-resolved, just short of the moment it might have displayed further evidence of corruption.
"What happened?"
Cassell asked.
"Working on it, sir,"
a spec said. Repressing a knowing smile, Tarkin glanced over his right shoulder.
"Have we tried to open a clear channel to Rampart?" "We've been trying, sir,"
the comm specialist said,
"but we haven't been able to penetrate the jamming."
Tarkin moved to the communications station.
"What resources do we have upside?"
"Parking lot is nearly empty, sir,"
the comm specialist riveted her eyes on the board.
"We have the Salich, the Fremont, and the Electrum."
Tarkin considered his options.
"Sentinel's Imperial-class Star Destroyer, the Core Envoy, and most of the flotilla's other capital ships were escorting supply convoys to Geonosis. That left him with a frigate and a tug, both vacant just then, literally parked in stationary orbits, and the obvious choice, the Electrum, a Venator-class Star Destroyer, on loan from a deep dock at Ryloth."
"Contact Captain Burke," he said at last.
"Already on the comm, sir,"
the specialist said. A quarter-scale image of the captain rose from the comm station's holoprojector. Burke was tall and gangly, with a clipped brown beard lining his strong jaw.
"Governor Tarkin," he said, saluting.
"Are you up to speed on what is occurring at Rampart Station, Captain Burke?"
"We are, sir. The Electrum is prepared to jump to Rampart on your command."
Tarkin nodded.
"K Keep those hyperspace coordinates at the ready, Captain. But right now, I want you to execute a micro-jump to the rimward edge of this system. Do you understand?
Burke frowned in confusion, but he said,
Understood, Governor.
You're to hold there and await further orders.
In plain sight, sir, or obscure?
I suspect that won't matter one way or another, Captain. But all the better if you can find something to hide behind.
Excuse me for asking, sir, but are we expecting trouble?
Always, Captain, Tarkin said, without levity. The hologram disappeared, and the command center fell eerily silent, save for the sounds of the sensors and scanners and the tech's update that the Electrum was away. The silence deepened, until a pressing and prolonged warning tone from the threat assessment station made everyone start. The specialist at the station thrust his head forward.
Sir, sensors are registering anomalous readings and chronal radiation in the red zone. Wake rotation!
Another spec cut in.
We've got a mark in from hyperspace, sir, and it's a big one. 920 meters long, gunnage of 12 turbo laser cannons, 10 point defense ion cannons, 6 proton torpedo launchers, reverting on the near side of the planet. Range is 200,000 clicks and closing.
He blew out his breath.
Good thing you dispatched the Electrum, sir, or it'd be in pieces by now.
A specialist seated at an adjacent duty station weighed in.
Firing solution programs are being sent to downside defenses. IFF is profiling it as the same carrier that attacked Rampart.
The spec glanced at Tarkin.
Could it have jumped, sir?
If the ship was even there, Tarkin said, mostly to himself.
Sir?
Tarkin shrugged out of the duster, letting it fall to the floor, and stepped down to the holoprojector.
Let's have a look at it.
If the ship in the orbital feed holovid was not the same one that had ostensibly attacked Rampart, it had to be her twin.
Sir, we have got multiple marks launching from the carrier.
The spec interrupted himself to make certain he was interpreting the reading.